So one of my least favorite kinds of movies are musicals. Guess what kind of movie we're exploring today? A musical, The Greatest Showman. Now, I will say I can tolerate the kind of musical that intersperses normal human dialogue between singing of the songs, but I cannot stand it when a movie is sung 2.5 hours straight through with zero dialogue. I could not stand Les Miserables for that very reason. Who sings every line in real life? This makes absolutely zero sense. My suspension of disbelief has no problem with aliens and talking cars and wormholes and action-adventure heroes jumping from building to building without breaking a sweat, time travel and clones and alternate universes, but singing dialogue? No. No, unbelievable, unwatchable. But I gotta confess this morning that I did enjoy this movie, and it helped that my children have been listening to this soundtrack a lot over the last few weeks. The Greatest Showman is the story of Phineas Taylor Barnum. That was a great name. P.T. Barnum, he's the dreamer, the entrepreneur, the one who created the circus as we understand it. He is a visionary. He sees possibilities where other people only see difficulties and scarcity and problems. So let's meet P.T. this morning as a child who's dreaming possibilities and chatting with the girl that would one day be his wife. Watch this.
How'd you get out?
The window.
Father's sending me to finishing school. I don't know what my future will be.
I do.
I close my eyes and I can see a world that's waiting up for me that I call my own.
She'll be back. Sooner or later, she'll tire of your life, of having nothing, and she'll be running back home.
I'm going to apologize. You're going to be humming these songs for the rest of the day. They are very catchy, but they're good. I also got to confess, I cannot see Wolverine. Every time I see Hugh Jackman, I see Wolverine. So he's talented, but I cannot get around it's Wolverine singing songs. So at the lowest point of his life, Barnum is stealing bread and he can't get anything to eat. His father has died. And at that lowest moment, an outcast shows him compassion. And that plants the seed and sets the course for everything that's going to come in his life and in this movie. We call P.T. a dreamer. In the business world, we'd call him an entrepreneur. In the Bible, we'd call him an apostle. He's apostolic. An apostle extends the gospel. He looks to the horizon to see what's coming next, to see possibilities, see new places to go that other people might not see right away. It's what we're doing in our Legacy South project. It's what we're doing with our continued expansion of our online presence, our online campus. Those are apostolic extending the gospel endeavors. the apostolic, the entrepreneurial folks that can make us feel unsettled, uncomfortable for a good reason, because as soon as we get comfortable, they lead us to see new horizons, to new places, to extend the gospel in new places and things, ways we never would have thought. The apostle helps us to remind us so that we never forget that we are the people in the mission outpost called the church, being trained to go up and to lead others to Jesus. I love the lines in this song where he sings, "It all sounds crazy. They'll say that you've lost your mind. You'll call me crazy, but I don't care." Those have been said of dreamers and entrepreneurs and apostles all throughout time. Friends, we are the dreamers that are captivated and driven by Jesus' kingdom, the picture of the world as it should be, that Jesus is slowly breaking out now and will bring to completion when he returns again. I'm going to give you just two quick glimpses of the kingdom this morning, one from Matthew and one from Revelation. This is Jesus speaking from Matthew. "The king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger. You invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you in sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" This kingdom not only includes us helping people find their way to Jesus for healing and forgiveness of sins and redemption, but this kingdom also includes meeting physical needs. What steps can we take to help feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to welcome strangers, provide clothing, care for the sick and those that are in prison? Our one thing and our impact offerings, our mission trips, they are just the beginning. How can we give? How can we serve? How can we live into this picture of a world where all needs are met? Some say it's even crazy to try. Just worry about yourself, worry about your own people that you care about, and that's it. But Jesus didn't leave us that option. You keep reading in this passage in Matthew, and the alternative is to be cast into the eternal fire with the devil and the demons. That is not a place I would like to be. Another picture of the kingdom we get from Revelation 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" Someone once asked a speaker, "How can you know if your church is growing?" And he responded, "Are there hurting people there? Then your church is growing." I've never heard it framed like that before. I thought that was really good. The picture of the kingdom is there are people that are not hurting anymore. Today, how can we wipe tears from those who are grieving? How can we be with those in sorrow and in pain? How can we walk with them through it? How can we work to alleviate pain? These are just two pictures of the kingdom that Jesus is bringing about, helping those on the fringes of society and wiping every tear from those who are suffering. They are wonderful pictures and dreams of the kingdom that we can take steps forward today as individuals, as a church, together. As we grow older, though, we can grow cynical. We believe the world is never going to change, that Jesus' kingdom is taking forever to come about. So we give up. We give up on the dream. We start taking a job just to earn a living that doesn't really mix with our gifts and our talents that God has given us. But opportunities might just prevent themselves for us to go in a new direction. And sometimes that comes about in ways we would not prefer. Watch this.
Thank you, Chalmers. That'll do.
Sir, Phineas Taylor Barnum. If I may, sir, I believe I have skills and ideas that go well beyond punching numbers into an adding machine. Well, I've read about this German fellow, Lilienthal, I believe, who's developed a glider that could take a man in the air, sir. Isn't that amazing? I mean, if you were to apply that to this business, it would be revolutionary.
Gentlemen, can I have your attention? You're all dismissed.
Bankrupt. I thought the company had a dozen trading ships.
Yes, at the bottom of the South China Sea. Typhoon sank them all.
He loses his job. Instead of going out to find another job that pays the bills, he starts to pursue this dream that has captivated his heart and his mind. He starts the Barnum Museum of Historical Wax Figures. These were all the rage in Europe at the time. Losing his job could have crippled him, but it didn't. He took the opportunity to go in a new direction and didn't let his job loss keep him from it. So when bad things happen to us, we ask and we pray and we scream to the heavens, God, why did you do this? Where is redemption going to come from? How does God bring good things out of the bad that happened to us? We can fall into the trap that God caused P.T. Barnum to lose his job, or us losing our job, or our house, falling into that trap that everything happens for a reason. I don't buy it. I don't believe Scripture teaches that either. There is personal responsibility. There is free will. There are outside circumstances that we have zero control over. P.T. Barnum had no control over a monsoon that sunk that fleet and caused him and others to lose their job. While I don't believe everything happens for a reason, I most certainly do believe God can redeem anything. We see it over and over again in Scripture. God bringing good out of bad and seemingly hopeless situations. God bringing success out of failure, redemption out of defeat, resurrection out of crucifixion. That is how our God operates. It is hard to see God's redemption in the middle of painful circumstances, but we can have faith that it will come. It is who our God is. God is the one who brings redemption out of defeat. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, finding himself in danger and in prison, a life far from what he would have dreamt it would should have been. Yet God brings redemption out of defeat. And Joseph, now in a leadership position, saves not only the country he's helping run, he saves his family, his brothers, all of Israel. When Joseph's brothers were afraid for their lives, fearful for what Joseph would do to him because they caused all of the pain in his life, Joseph replies this way, "You intended to harm me, my brothers, but God intended it for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." God could have brought Joseph to this leadership position without being sold a slave in Egypt, but we humans, we have free will. God works with what God has to work with and the choices we make. God took a horrific situation and brought redemption from painful circumstances. Friends, God does that for us too. God brings success out of failure, redemption from defeat, resurrection out of crucifixion. It is hard to see it when we're in the middle of it, but have faith it will come. We have faith because our God specializes in turning evil to good, death into resurrection. P.T. Barnum takes hold of the opportunity in front of him, launches this wax museum, really doesn't go well. So he retools based on advice from his daughter. His daughter felt like there should be something alive there. So he collects an assortment of people with unique talents, and the museum launches again to massive popularity. But not everyone liked his success. Watch this.
Ah, Mr. Bennett from the Herald. Come to take in another show, huh?
Tell me, Mr. Varner, does it bother you that everything you're selling is fake?
Do these smiles seem fake? Doesn't matter where they come from, the joy is real.
So you are a philanthropist?
Well, hyperbole isn't the worst crime. Men suffer more from imagining too little than too much.
The creed of a true fraud.
Mr. Bennett, when was the last time you smiled?
I had a good laugh. A real laugh.
Theater critic, you can't find joy in the theater. Now who's a fraud?
Oh, Mr. Bennett. Yeah, that word you used to describe my show has a nice ring to it.
He not only doesn't let the critics stop him, he uses it as fuel and moves forward. Renames the museum the circus, because that's what the critic called him insultingly. So everything is going Barnum's way. He's got popularity, success, he's got a huge house, a happy family. But already at this point, there are indications things are starting to come off the rails. His wife has told him more than once she doesn't need more stuff. She doesn't need a bigger house. She just wants to do life with him. What does Barnum do? He works even harder. He misses dinners. He misses events with his daughters. And he keeps pursuing a bigger house, and the circus grows even bigger. Barnum brings in an opera singer, and by doing that, he insults the rest of the cast as a sideshow. He lets the critics start to get under him. And instead of listening to his trusted advisors, his wife, he tries to please other people, please these critics, instead of consulting his wife, his business partner, those closest to him. And P.T.'s partner, Bailey's trying to get his attention, trying to show him he's getting off focus, taking his eyes off of what has gotten him this far in the first place. So as Bailey's trying to help him regain focus, and Barnum is tempted by the opera singer. Watch this.
Did you just put more shows in New York? Why do you need to tour the country?
Why did Napoleon march on Russia?
Napoleon was defeated.
Napoleon didn't have a 60-piece orchestra.
A 60-piece orchestra?
Just get the cheapest musicians you can and watch that.
We'll still have to board them.
We'll get married ones. They can share a bunk. O'Malley, that's Caroline's piggy bank.
Custom sets?
Yeah.
Fireworks? Uh-huh. Inside theaters?
That's genius.
No. Hey, P.T., these are the most famous theaters in the country. They make you buy the seats in advance
just to book them. Yeah, I took them out a loan.
And we have to pay Jenny?
It was a large loan.
You're not going to see a penny of profit until your 40th show.
41st, actually.
You're risking everything you've built.
Well, how do you think I built it? We'll have plenty of profits to go around after this.
P.T.
What?
Your attention has been divided long enough. Our gate is down. We have more protesters every day.
You just need to get people to come back. If you haven't been to the Barnum Museum lately, you haven't been to the Barnum Museum.
They come to see you. Your crazy ideas. Your new acts. The unusual.
Then how about you show them a smile? That'd be unusual.
Keep rehearsing. To make it very clear, I expect them to afford you all the deference you deserve.
And then they should be nice to you anyway.
Ain't that a sight for sore eyes?
Couldn't even say hello.
Or goodbye. He's going on tour. Sorry, guys.
Oh, pull yourself together, Carlisle. Don't you have somewhere to be?
So making dreams come true.
Thank you, Jen.
Jenny, please. We have to finish the tour.
Must I?
It will ruin me.
When you're careless with other people, Mr. Barnum, you bring ruin upon yourself.
I have risked everything.
Well, so did I. It seems we both lost.
He does the right thing, he resists temptation, and what happens to him? Like Joseph, he loses everything. He loses his business, the museum burns down, his family loses his house. His wife and daughters go back to live with the in-laws. He is at rock bottom again because he completely lost focus of what got him to where he was. So when you are completely knocked down and you're nearly out, how do you back up again? Because remember, God specializes in turning defeat into resurrection. Here are three things to keep in mind. First, dream Jesus' dreams again. We get off track as we buy into this consumerist lie. We need constantly bigger things, faster things, larger things in our lives. We know true life is not found in the abundance of our possessions, but do we actually live it with the choices that we make? We've lost interest in helping Jesus build his kingdom, partnering with Jesus. We only have interest in building our kingdom. We need to recommit, surrender ourselves to Jesus again. Let the Holy Spirit do some house cleaning so that we find our passion, our interest revived again in seeking those in need of Jesus' forgiveness and healing, finding those in need of food and clothing and compassion as they're grieving. May we be captivated by Jesus' dreams again for our lives, not our own. His dreams should be guiding everything that we do. Second, return to the fundamentals. Barnum succeeded because he and his wife were on the same page. They have the same priorities. He and his business partner were on the same page. Once those two relationships went sideways, it wasn't hard to see everything else was going to go sideways. His marriage and family come apart. His business comes apart and fails. Barnum and his wife have this confrontation because there's a picture of him kissing the opera singer on the front page of a newspaper. It was a photo op. The opera singer staged it, and the wife knew this. His wife knew that she would never cheat on him. She knew that it was a photo op. It was a staged deal. But her issue was this. Her issue was she knew he was never going to cheat on her. Her issue was this. I never minded the risk, but we always did it together. Barnum went his own direction without consulting his most important partner. If you find yourself far from God today, return to the fundamentals. Come to worship more regularly. Pray, read your Bibles, get plugged into a life group. You will find yourself close to God again when you start doing the things that made you feel close to God in the first place. If your marriage is not where it should be today, return to the fundamentals. Something made you say yes to that person standing beside you on the altar so many years ago. Return to those practices that made you say, yes, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with. Date again. Find your hobbies and likes again. Find the spark that made you say yes for the very first time. Return to the fundamentals, and you will find your way back to love again. If work is not what you want it to be, if you dread Mondays as much as Garfield does, return to the fundamentals. What moves your heart? What are you passionate about? Can you get paid to do what moves your heart and what you're passionate about? If not, you need to be sure that that is in your life somewhere so your day job can support the work that you are really passionate about. Return to the fundamentals. Find the work that moves your soul that God has created you uniquely to do. And third, seek forgiveness and contentment. Barnum needed to ask for forgiveness from his wife, from his business partner, and all of the circus he'd insulted, called a sideshow. Forgiveness and reconciliation is all over our Bibles. It is a mark of the followers of Jesus. In the midst of encouraging new Christians to put off the old way of living, to put on the new ways, to stop lying, to quit stealing, to stop using foul and abusive language, we're also reminded, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. We get rid of all these things by dreaming Jesus' dreams again for our lives, for our world. And when we return to the fundamentals of worship and prayer and scripture and Christian community, all of those things, they transform us. They change us. The Spirit works through all of those things to transform our default settings from anger and rage to forgiveness and to reconciliation. Is there someone you need to seek forgiveness from today? Don't let the sun set before you start taking steps in that direction to reconcile. Barnum does finally take those steps of forgiveness and reconciliation. He starts to rise again. Resurrection does come from defeat. Watch this.
And the circus, that was our home. We want our home back.
I saw the sun begin to dim and felt that winter wind blow cold. A man learns who is there for him when the glitter fades and the walls won't hold. 'Cause from that rubble, one remains can only be what's true. If all was lost, there's more I gained, 'cause it led me back to you.
I brought hardship on you and our family. You warned me, and I wouldn't listen. To be more than I was.
I never wanted anything but the man I fell in love with.
Let this promise in me start like an anthem in my heart.
Everything is back. They relaunch the circus under a tent, and PT retires. He wants to watch his daughters grow up. The visionary, the apostle, this entrepreneur has finally found contentment. And a line that was sung about the circus earlier in the movie is now sung while PT is watching his daughters do ballet. It's everything you've ever wanted. It's everything you've ever needed. And it is right here in front of you. Friends, God is speaking that into all of our hearts today. Everything you've ever wanted, everything you've ever needed is right here in front of us. God wants a relationship with each one of us in Jesus. It is through that relationship we find purpose and meaning and joy and contentment. May we dream Jesus' dreams again. Return to the fundamentals. Seek forgiveness and contentment because, friends, everything we've ever wanted is right here in front of us in Jesus. So let us pray together. Lord God, we are sorry for all of the times that we have sought joy and purpose and meaning in anything but you. We recommit ourselves today to your dreams for our lives and the world. May your Holy Spirit guide us to lives and work that advances your kingdom as we solely find joy and contentment in you alone. It is in Jesus' name we pray together.